Hey y'all, I'm Kim, host of Book Marketing Mania, and I'm so thrilled you're tuning in today as my guest is Robin Graham, host of The Robin Graham Show. And Robin is a Christian business coach, a marketing strategist, and author of You, Me, and Anxiety. I couldn't wait to talk to Robin about how she defines a personal brand and why it's so important for authors, and tips to overcome anxiety over growing your own personal brand and comparing yourself to other authors, and Robin's experience publishing with Highlander Press, and how podcasting helps her and you build your audience of future readers. You're in for a treat today, so let's get to it. Hey, Robin, welcome to Book Marketing Mania. I'm so thrilled you're here today to serve my listeners.
Well, Kim, thank you for having me. It's an honor to be here with you, and I'm super excited to get to share myself, but most importantly, any like little gifts and little nuggets that God sends our way with your listeners as well. So super happy to be here.
I know. I'm sure I could just ask you questions for hours and hours, Robin. So first off, just to kick it off, I did want to ask you, being an author yourself and working as a marketing strategist with a lot of different businesses on their personal branding, I know authors sometimes can get a little stumped on what that means. So can you just talk us through, just from the very beginning, how you would define a personal brand for an author?
Absolutely. So when you are an author, or really anyone in any type of situation where you need to promote yourself, people need to get to know who you are. Your personal brand is ultimately that perception that other people have of you, what they think, say, and feel about you. So you need to represent yourself first and foremost, because people aren't going to buy your book without knowing you. Mm-hmm. You have to build trust. Trust determines buying practices, but also people buy personalities. So hands down, your face should be all over the place so that people can get to know who you are. There's that soulful connection between your eyes and your smile, and that's going to bring people into you. So no matter the subject of your book, you want to be present, and you want people to get to understand exactly who you are and why you wrote this book, and build that emotional connection around yourself, because that's what people are ultimately going to end up buying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I love that today's world, and I know social, it has its good things and bad things, social media, right? But even just online, you know, an email list and going to somebody's blog. I mean, all those things have changed so much in the years, you know, since I've been around the online world. You know, used to, it was like, if you heard about a book or you read a book, it was just kind of the author was in that book, you know, and you couldn't connect with them anyway, you know, because it was just like there was such a big disconnect. And it wasn't as easy as it is today to like really feel like you're connected to them, maybe on it in a daily basis. So I so appreciate that, because I think that branding word just kind of floats around and people aren't quite sure what it means. Because I know we often think about our logos and our colors and those kind of things versus like just that true personal connection that you're talking about. And so as I mentioned in the introduction, that Robin's also the author of the book, You, Me, and Anxiety, and you talk a lot about that, I know, on your own podcast, The Robin Graham Show. So I highly encourage everybody to go check that out. One of my favorite shows. But I wanted you to talk about it, Robin, just, you know, whenever we do think about building a personal brand, especially online, showing our faces, whether it's pictures or videos, or just, you know, being a little bit more open than we're used to, that can cause a lot of anxiety, I know, for people, including myself. So what kind of tips can you share about how we can, you know, maybe some ways we need to change our mindset around that, and some tips for us moving forward so that we can be more empowered to, you know, get online and create our brand and really show our personalities that they're going to, you know, get to see in the book?
I want to start by saying, first and foremost, if you think of your personal brand as putting yourself out there so the people who need you can find you, it takes some of that pressure off, because it's really not about you. It's about them and what they need from you, right? And God has given each and every one of us unique gifts and unique talents and unique journeys to get us right to where we are today, to be able to help other people. So if you focus more on the fact that other people need you and you're showing up for them, it will kind of help put some of that pressure off, because you're doing it for them. You're not doing it for yourself. What you want to do is make sure that you're present so that people can really get to know you, because that's going to open the doors for opportunity for speaking engagements and things like that. as well as selling the book, because mm-hmm. obviously that is key mm-hmm. for growth. But if you think of your personal brand as kind of the foundation of your authorship, your business, whatever you're wanting to do with your book, whatever mm-hmm. your reason was for writing that book, that mm-hmm. really is how you're going to create that perception of what people think, say, and feel about you. Your branding is going to be how you communicate that. And that loops right into your marketing strategies as mm-hmm. you're marketing. You want to tell your story, but when you're telling your story, you want to tell it from the place of they need me. Mm-hmm. And I'm here to help them. I'm here to serve them. And God has put this calling on my heart. And I think for me, when I wrote my book, it wasn't about the brand assets and the colors and all of that stuff. It was literally about telling my story so that if I could help one person not die by suicide because of anxiety and depression, I will have fulfilled my purpose. Mm-hmm. Has that happened? I know that's happened, mm-hmm. which is remarkable. But having had anxiety my whole entire life, it was a really big thing for me to write my story down, to tell that story, because there are a lot of things in my story that aren't pretty. Mm-hmm, so yeah. When it comes to having anxiety around putting yourself out there, it was like, okay, now I've written this. Now it's out of my heart, out of my mind. It's on paper. It's published. Everybody in the world can know all these things about me. Mm-hmm. But if you look at it from that place of God has called me to do this, and if you just say, Holy Spirit, calm my heart, quiet my mind so that I can do what I've been called to do, it helps tremendously. And the other thing is when you start to feel anxious about putting yourself out there, think about this exercise. And I call this my 5 C's. Catch those thoughts that are saying to you, what if nobody likes it? What if you don't look great today? What mm-hmm. if somebody makes fun of me? What if I get a bad review? What if, right? All those what if thoughts. If you can catch those what if thoughts and challenge them, is this thought realistic? Is it realistic to think that what if someone judges me and thinks I'm a big loser because I put this book out there? Is your best friend or is your soulmate reader of your book going to think that about you? Mm-hmm. Chances are no.
Right. Yeah.
So if you can catch those thoughts and challenge them, then you can change them mm-hmm. because now you know, okay, you know what? First of all, I was called to write this book. Second of all, there are people that need this book, and the people that need this book are not going to judge me. They're going mm-hmm. to appreciate me. They're going to love me. They're going to hang on every word I've written because it's going to help them. Mm-hmm. And the more you catch, challenge, and change those thoughts, the more confidence you're going to have, and then the more control you're going to have over those anxious thoughts. So you'll be able to put yourself out there with more ease, more grace, and you'll be able to grow that personal brand so that people can really truly get to know who you are. Now, the other thing I want to point out here is, and this is a huge component of my business, is I'm not a huge fan of social media, mm-hmm. and I'm not a huge fan of social media because of the elevated level of anxiety that it can mm-hmm. cause, imposter syndrome, comparison. It triggers doubt, all of those things, right? That are going to increase your level of anxiety. If social media is not for you, it is not the end all be all. Mm-hmm. People will say, oh, you're an author. You have to be on social media. Guess what? You do not.
Right.
You don't have to do anything you're not comfortable with. If you have anxiety around creating video or doing these things on social media, first of all, always ask the Holy Spirit to calm mm-hmm. your heart, quiet your mind, because that's key. But then also create a strategy for your marketing that works for you, feels good for you, that you will show up for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's so good, and not be comparing to what everyone else is doing.
I can't wait to check out more about your 5 C's exercise. Do you have an episode on that, or is that like a
there is freebie? There is actually. No, okay. Both. So okay. There is a free download on the website. If you go to therobagraham.com/resources, mm-hmm. There is an ebook on alleviating anxiety by developing healthy habits for a healthy mind. And the outline of that model is in there. Okay. And there is a podcast episode. I don't remember what number, okay. but there is a podcast episode okay. about.
Yeah, I'll find both of those and make sure I have them linked. Yeah, because that would be awesome yeah. to hear. Well, let's talk about, because I know with your book, you published with Highlander Press, which I'm not familiar with. So I love finding out about new publishers. And I know that's definitely something that my audience gets anxiety about, is like what publishing route to take and who to go with. So I'd just love to, if you can just share a little bit about how your experience was with them.
Sure. So when I had started writing my book years ago, mm-hmm. and then I just had it sitting there, right? I hadn't finished it.
Yeah.
And I was in a networking organization and I met Debbie Keeban from Highlander Press. And mm-hmm. we did a connect call. And I felt like during that call, like God put us together for a reason. Mm-hmm. And I would have sat on that book forever, probably, and not put it out there. But Debbie resonated with my story and she loved the idea of the book. And so I decided to hire her as mm-hmm. a publisher. I mean, it was really, you know, happenstance per se, but I think it was a God wink that I met her. So it was nice to have her expertise to guide me. She was also my editor. She was the publisher. Like she did all of that stuff. I will say that unless you have, and here's the thing, I will be perfectly candid here. Mm-hmm. I had so much anxiety that the thought of trying to get an agent, trying to promote my book or mm-hmm. to get somebody to publish, like one of these big publishers, mm-hmm. that I didn't want to do it. I was, because fear stopped me. Right. If I had to do it all over again, I would have pitched it mm-hmm. to somebody, to a big publishing company. Hands down, I would do that for anything else that I do going forward. I also think that self-publishing is a great way to go. It's very expensive to hire a hybrid publisher. Mm-hmm. And you have to be very invested in it. And especially if you're like, you know, I was doing this from a place of service. I felt mm-hmm. called to do this. I wasn't doing this to make money off of it. So if you are doing it that way, you have to be prepared to invest up front. They still take some of your royalties. So it's not like you get all the royalties, even though you've paid up front to have the book published. Mm-hmm. So there are so many variations. But my point in saying that is if you market yourself, you get speaking engagements, and then you can recoup your costs that mm-hmm. way. You can also tie it in. Like people may think, well, your book is for teen girls, and then the second book is for their parents, and the journal's for either or. But I can link anxiety to entrepreneurship, to being mm-hmm. a business owner. And so I can use my book to bring people into my business. Mm-hmm. Now, was that my original intent? No, not at all. But when it comes to marketing and getting an ROI on something you've invested heavily in, it's important to do that, right? You have mm-hmm. to offset your costs. So those are just a few things to think about, I would say.
Yeah. Yeah. That's that whole publishing world. There's just so many ways to go about it. And you have to really, I mean, it's just like with everything else, you have to really figure out what's going to fit with you best. And I love, you know, like some camps are like, I would never traditionally publish or go after that again, or go after it, period. And I love hearing you say that is something you would go after because,
yeah,
you know, they all kind of get good and bad rap. So I think mm-hmm. it just depends on each one of you. But thinking along those lines, like of traditional publishing, I know their big thing is making sure you have an author platform, which your personal brand would be so important to that. But I'd love to hear from you, Robin, as somebody that's been in the podcasting world for a while. How has the Robin Graham Show helped you to build an audience and your personal brand?
That's a great question. So it's the no love and trust factor, right? Mm-hmm. I show up every single week. I provide value and I entertain and I educate, and that has built trust. So my podcast has been that avenue where people have gotten to know me, they've gotten to trust me, and then they want to come into my community, my world. So it grows it builds your authority in your area of expertise, which is ultimately key mm-hmm. for standing out as an expert. It's a great opportunity for speaking engagements. And when I say speaking engagements, I would encourage your listeners to, you don't have to be on a big stage to be considered a speaker. Mm-hmm. This is a speaking engagement. Mm-hmm. I'm here to speak, to share, to serve. And you can start small. So if you're wanting to grow awareness around your business related to your book or just around your book, start small and start small stages, just like a podcast. Mm-hmm. And then build from there, go out into your community and start talking to your chamber of commerce or mm-hmm. church groups yeah. or, you know, what other small avenues there are just to grow that awareness and increase your authority in your space. But I would say from a podcasting perspective, it's definitely the no love and trust factor. It's definitely growing your authority. And it's really also what is so key is relationship building. Mm-hmm. Because when you have a podcast and you interview people and you're going to interview people that are like-minded And you're going to be able to build those relationships, but that becomes potential client sources. It becomes mm-hmm. potential referral sources, potential collaboration opportunities. And I had a call this morning with someone I interviewed on my show, and it was one of the most productive, like, coffee chat type talks that I've mm-hmm. ever had in my life. And it's just, you know, you can build these relationships and support each other, and it opens the doors to so many more opportunities for you. Mm-hmm. Hands down, I love podcasting.
Yeah. Well, it comes through on your show for sure. And I'm so glad you said that, because I do think a lot of times just that it, I think we don't always put enough emphasis on the return on the relationships, you know, like just what you can, whenever you meet people on podcasts, and if you're a guest or host and really connecting with people that you have on your show, like you just, I've gotten so much feedback from people that have, you know, gone on to like write books together, or they, you know, start masterminds together, or they are, you know, speakers at each other's summits. I mean, you just never know what the future mm-hmm. may hold as you start those relationships. So I'm so glad you said yeah. that. Well, we talk a lot about podcast pitching on the show, Robin. So I'd love to hear from you as a host. If you accept podcast pitches, what really, you know, stands out to you and shines in a podcast pitch?
So we get so many pitches, and I am a big supporter of automation. Like mm-hmm. I need simplicity. So people mm-hmm. come in through an application process, and then we can approve or deny their application. And then everything from there is automated. They are sent an email directly with the cat scheduling link and that. So I'm all about simplification. I'm techie. And so all of that is, that's our process. Like it's mm-hmm. an application process to be a guest on the show. When I do get pitches, I will say there are some that delete right away. Mm-hmm. And here's something that I absolutely is a huge pet peeve is one, they say, "Oh, I love your show and I love what you're doing. I listen to XYZ show," and then they go straight into their pitch. Mm-hmm. First of all, maybe they listen to one episode. That doesn't give them the authority to say they love my show. So I see mm-hmm. like, that's like smoke and mirrors to me. I'm like, yeah, false alarm. Mm-hmm. Like they're just trying to woo me. It's not genuine. Mm-hmm. I like genuine truth. And if somebody pitches me from their heart, I'm a lot more apt to say yes and not even make them go through that process mm-hmm. if I do see the email. But it's really about being genuine. I want to know what they're going to teach my listeners. How mm-hmm. are they going to communicate? What is their expertise and how does that influence? I get a lot of pitches where their business, their service has nothing to do with my show or how, you know, the content that we typically mm-hmm. present or the information, the value that my listeners are looking for. And so they haven't done their homework. They really haven't listened to shows. I also am so grateful when someone has left a rating and review. And if mm-hmm. anybody is wanting to pitch a podcast, I strongly encourage you to do that because it's a give and take, right? Mm-hmm. This host is giving up their time to bring you on their show. They're learning about you. They're promoting you by having you on their show. And it's really just a kindness factor to leave a rating and review for anyone who you are pitching. And I get a lot of people, that's a question we ask on our application. And it's not a determining factor whether mm-hmm. we say yes or not. But I will say that a lot of people say, "Not yet, but I will." And mm-hmm. they never do. Mm-hmm. So yeah. I encourage you, just from a sake of gratitude for having that opportunity to pitch to them and to have that opportunity to be promoted on their show, I would definitely strongly encourage that, to leave a rating and review. It's a mm-hmm. big feather in the cap to yeah. do that.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I do. I think that really makes you stand out, because not many people will take it doesn't take long to do, you know, mm-hmm. but it really does no. stand out in a podcaster's mind that you took the time to do that. And then, of course, it helps other people when they're checking out your show to be able to see a review. And I'm so glad you have a form, because I love it when a podcaster has a form, because it just makes it so much easier, you know, because then you know what they're looking for exactly, you know, kind of in the mm-hmm. format they're looking for. So that's all great. So I love that. Just so many things that I've spoken about on the show. So I'm so glad that we're like-minded in that, Robin. So let's talk about Podmatch, because that's how we like formally came up with this interview. Although, like I said, I've followed your show forever and you've always been on my mind, but I probably just thought, oh, I don't know if Robin will take the time to come on my show, you know, like, and that's another podcaster's, you know, issue, right?
But, you know, seeing your name pop up on Podmatch as a possible match, it was like, oh, well, obviously Robin is looking to be a guest on podcast. So maybe she would like to be on my show. So I'm so glad that like that has been our formal connection. But I'd love to just hear from you how that has, you know, been a benefit to you for you to go guest on other people's shows and make new connections.
Absolutely. So it's really kind of funny because I don't necessarily use it to get guests for my shows, but I do use it to get opportunities. And I have had some really, really cool interviews with people that I never would have crossed paths with, not connected with them any other place, but they see my profile and they invite me on their show. And it has opened many doors of opportunity to reach my ideal audience. And so I encourage it. I don't pay for the platform. I use the free platform. But here is the thing, and especially if someone does have anxiety over promoting themselves, podcasting is a great way to reach the masses. And it's, you know, having that courtesy to share the interview after the fact, it's a win-win for both you and the host. It shows your authority and that other people are representing you or see you as an expert and an authority. And that's a huge bonus for you. So I encourage people, it's not stressful either because or anxiety provoking because your profile is just sitting there. And so if you have your profile with a, you know, a good bio and everything there, people are going to see exactly why they should have you on their show. And those invitations will come trickling in. You don't have to then sit and pitch all of these people or fill out a lot of forms. They come to you and ask you, invite you.
Yeah, I love it. Well, and just like you said, you're not necessarily using it for your show, but you're using it for you to be a guest. And yeah, it just alleviates all that time. And I love that there's just like this magic matchmaking that happens in the background that you don't even see it, right? You don't see it. Somebody swipe left, swipe right. You know, you just don't see that working in the background, but it is working for you. And it's just, I've just been so impressed with it and wish I would have tried it sooner. So now I'm only using it as a host. I haven't even used it to be a guest, but I definitely wanted to ask your experience about that. Well, this has been so good, Robin. And I would love for you to share where our listeners can best connect with you online. I'm going to definitely put in the links that we talked about earlier, but I just love it if somebody wants to reach out to you and just talk to you more about their personal brand, how they can connect with you.
So the best way is to, number one, listen to the show. But if you want to access me directly, send me an email. My email is robin@therobingraham.com. I love to hear from people. And I love to hear what resonated most whenever I've done an interview. I welcome building relationships at all levels. So feel free to email me. But my website, therobingraham.com, is where you can find everything, free resources about my services, about the podcast. The blog always has the podcast episodes there. So the website is hands down the best place to find everything you need to know.
Oh, good. That's awesome. Well, thanks for being so generous with that and with all the content you shared today. I'm so thrilled for everybody to hear from you, Robin. And I just thank you for your time today.
Thank you, Kim. It was an honor, truly.
Oh, y'all, I love what Robin said about podcasting, building the know, like, and trust factor with your listeners who are your future book readers. It's a great way to start building your audience and your author brand long before you have a book in hand. And if you need some help deciding if hosting your own podcast or guesting on other podcasts is your next best step to building your audience or marketing your book, I would love to strategize that with you. You can grab a session with me on my calendar at kimstewartmarketing.com/strategy. And I'll be sure and put a link here in your show notes. Thanks for tuning in today. And as always, I'll be there for you to help you build your audience and market your book one podcast at a time. See you then.